It's Will Sean Podcast. The internet cried out for two more blowhards, and they courageously answered that call. Armed with the weapon of wit, each week they're joined by guests to discuss movies, television, pop culture, and anything else that's pissing them off. Take it away, boys.
I'm Will Link.
And I'm Sean David.
And this is Will Sean Podcast?
Why is this podcast different from all other podcasts? We don't know either. How you doing, Will?
All my friends are a bunch of assholes.
All your friends?
All of them. Well, maybe not you. The, here's why they all stink. Because nobody does anything last minute anymore. Even my closest friends, if you call them up, you make no plans on a Saturday night ahead of time. If you call them up, so, well, I got this thing to do, I got that thing to do. No one is ever free, no one does things last minute. I have to make plans with everyone 3 weeks ahead of time.
This is ironic because you, of all people, are the plan person and the least likely last-minute person when I think of people who are last-minute. That sentence made no sense.
I am always open last-minute to invite someone along to something that I might have pre-planned. But, no, because here's the thing.
You're deliberately spontaneous.
I am making plans with these other people ahead of time. So it's not me, it's everybody else.
I see. Anything else? Is the government listening to you as well?
Well,
tapping
we're gonna
your
get
phones.
In. That'll be my how you doing next week. About how the government
but you're wearing a tinfoil hat and screaming about black helicopters.
Exactly. The point is, instead of on Saturday night, instead of going out and drinking and having fun with anybody, I stayed in and I watched American Reunion on HBO and contemplated killing myself.
Sounds like, for me, that's a win evening. What are you talking about?
So what's going on in the world of Will Sean Podcast?
Well, as promised, the question is up on Facebook. I posted it there. Feedback, people. What would you like from us? What don't you like from us? We promise to read it. We may not take it under advisement or act upon it, but we'd like to get a little conversation going with our listeners, find out how we're doing, honestly, and because, you know, if we're not getting judged, we can't feel insecure and cry.
And like that Facebook page, people.
Tell your friends. All the normal stuff.
The road to 204 likes. We're almost there. We're at 196.
But, yeah, just give us a little feedback. Put a comment in the question and or just drop us a line. We really want to hear from you because we want to know what the people think.
And who is our sponsor this week?
Well, are you concerned about the quality, purity, and overall kosher level of your matzot? No fear. The sanctity of your Pesach is intact with real matzah. Yes, real matzah is made with the blood of unbaptized Christian males, young, virginal, free-range Christian boys, captured, killed, and bled from the finest German towns and villages. Accept no imitations. Real matzah, because you can't spell Passover without blood libel.
Oh, well, this sounds delicious.
That's authentic, how my grandma used to make.
I should really switch and embrace your faith, because I didn't know there was so much blood involved.
It's, all of our holidays either involve blood or guilt.
On the show this week, the baseball season is starting.
Yay!
And I'm not as excited as I usually am. Stanley Kubrick may have faked the moon landing. And an enemy related to a young punk we've been talking about a few weeks here on the podcast. But first, we're very excited. Our guest this week, Matthew Swanson.
All right, guys.
Welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. I actually was almost captured as a young virginal Christian male and made into matzah.
Really? Did you run fast enough, though?
I did then. Yeah, I wasn't fat yet.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. If they came for you now.
My iPad was stolen recently, and I gave up after 10 steps. The kid stole it out of my pocket because I realized there was no way I was going to capture that kid.
So wait, your iPad was hanging out of your pocket?
I had an iPad mini. And it was in my coat pocket. I was looking at my phone to look at exactly where I was going to see what the map that I was looking at. And I felt a little tug, turned around. The kid had a smile on his face because I think he was surprised he got away with it. And then he just took off running. It was at Wilshire and Western. And I literally 10 steps before I was A, out of breath, and B, like, just calculating, he's pulling away at X, and I'm going at Y, and X will never equal Y.
It's a really bad algebra problem.
Exactly, yeah. Well, plus the wind was in my face, so that's probably why I was running so slowly. So
stay out of Koreatown.
that's where I live. It's a little hard to stay out of. But
I always wonder, like, if something like that happens, if someone steals something from me, like, would I be able to catch them? Because I'm not the fastest, but I feel like I would get, like, You know how they say, like, when the child is pinned under the car, you can lift the whole car up?
All the adrenaline, yeah.
I figured I would go into, like, the flash speed.
I had the practical, I yelled very loudly in a very manly voice, "Stop him." Like, with a pause in between, that caused every pedestrian on the street to stop and turn around and look, which that worked. But, of course, nobody wants to get involved, and my guessing is they're just confused as he runs towards them, and a giant lumbering guy with a beard runs behind him. I'm sure they looked like – I looked like I was chasing him as opposed to –
And you're yelling, "Stop, he raped me."
Yes,
stop
exactly,
him.
Right, yeah. And,
next time, just yell rape.
No, you're supposed to yell fire.
Yeah,
because
exactly.
Rape.
He's on fire. Just someone stop him and put him out.
No one will. Yeah, when in case of emergency, you're not supposed to yell rape or theft or whatever
because
one cares about you. But if you yell fire, all of a sudden they care about their own safety and they'll perk up to protect themselves.
I would like to think if a woman is being raped and she yelled rape, I would do something about it.
You would like to think?
I would do something if I saw a woman being raped.
I've stopped four.
Yeah, you.
You stopped four rapes?
Four rapes.
What the hell? No, okay.
He's a hero. Well, let's
look at that old rape magnet.
Exactly.
Let's take a step back.
I was involved in three of them,
dear.
Ayo.
Before you were a superhero and getting robbed
That's
and
right.
raped and things like that, where are you from? Are you from Los Angeles?
No, I'm from Connecticut. A little town in Connecticut.
Oh, where? Oh, okay.
On the prairie, yep.
Yeah. It's called On the Prairie?
That's okay. A little town on the prairie joke.
Uh-huh.
Sorry, that's not a good joke. That's why I have to explain it. It's a little town called Bethel, which is in the Old Testament, weirdly. That's where youths were attacked by a bear after they made fun
this
of
from
Elijah.
Book of Kings 2.
Elijah or Elisha?
Elijah. Book Kings 2, yeah.
Yeah, they made fun of him, and he was like, "You guys are screwed," and then a bear came out and ate them. It's one of my favorite stories. Yeah. So I'm from that town, and was in New York for 3 or 4 years, and then moved out here. So.
What made you do the move from New York to here?
I wanted to do film and TV, ideally. I'm an actor, and I was doing... You know, New York's a theater town, ultimately. And,
so I've heard.
there is a lot of theater. And if you're built like I am, you don't do a lot of dancing. So
we've already established,
right? Exactly.
Not
much of a runner or a dancer, but musical comedy is a triple threat. I was like a double threat. Not so useful in Broadway.
So that's why you decided I'm going to flee New York,
exactly,
and come to a place where they appreciate the skill
you
set that you have.
Right, there's a couple of chubby funny guys on TV.
So you do like so since coming out here, how's it been going?
It's been all right.
I've been getting like a lot of commercial work. I think I read.
Yeah, I do. I've done quite a few commercials. I have that look of guy at bar. That's usually what I play.
Guy at bar.
Guy at bar. Bearded guy at bar. Guy at bar getting rejected. That guy.
Well, to be fair, you brought us booze.
I did.
So I feel like maybe that look has been, or you're maybe all these. You're embracing that look.
I just figure everywhere I go, I have booze so that I can, just in case I run into a casting director, they're like, "Holy shit, you're like a guy at a bar."
So you just walk into auditions with a bottle?
Mm-hmm.
What's up? When's this happening?
I got my own little, whatever they call that, skeleton key? What do they call that thing? Not a skeleton key.
A bottle opener?
Yeah, but there's like a cool term for like bartenders that they use.
No. All I know is my brother had a NASCAR hat, and the underside of the brim had a bottle opener built into it.
Oh, I want that.
So you could take the bottle and just snap it on the bottom of your cap.
I want like a Mets version, not
okay.
like a NASCAR.
I'm sure you could find.
I don't like NASCAR that much, but
we could have one built if a industrious listener out
right.
there wants to build a hat for Matt.
You could just take a hat and duct tape a bottle opener to the underside.
I am that fashionable that I actually would do that.
Okay, so you do commercial work, and then what else is it that you do out here?
I produce a show. I co-produce a show called the Smarties Show,
which is why we wanted to have you here.
I'm glad to have it to be here. I'm glad to have you guys here. Thanks for coming onto my podcast.
We're stealing all your shit
by the
before
way,
you leave. By the way,
it's mine now.
We're gonna steal your shit, and you won't be able to catch us. Now we know.
We're very spry.
Damn it. I should not tell that story anymore.
It's okay, no one's gonna listen.
Smarties is a play. Excellent. I'm glad I'm here. Smart. Well, nobody comes to Smarties either, so that's perfect. That's not true. We have a nice little audience.
Well, we're going
to
change it. I'm making promises we can't possibly keep. We're going to double that audience.
There will be four people there next time.
You know what? It only seats 55, so
that's an odd number.
A tenth of the way there.
Okay, well, tell us what – all joking aside, tell us what Smarties is about.
Smarties is we've tagged it Play Readings by Geniuses. Basically, my co-producer, Erica, and I, we grew up doing theater. We always wanted to do theater. And in L.A., it's not that there's no opportunity. It's just most of it doesn't pay. And it's a long process. It's 6 to 8 weeks of rehearsal plus the show. And it's hard to get people out to an audience to come see theater. And we figured we could do that same process, have a show put up, but in a day. We wanted to do it in a day as opposed to 6 weeks. So people get the script, the actors get the scripts about a week in advance. They go over them on their own. They come the day of the show's at 8 o'clock. They come at 4 o'clock. We do a run-through. They break for dinner. We set up. We do a great little spread of wine and cheese and crackers and desserts and stuff. And then it's very classy because theater is classy. And then show's at 8. They come back. We do the show one time. It's directed. And very, you know, it's minimal movement, but it's read from scripts.
So they have scripts. Okay.
They have scripts, yeah. There's no memorization or anything. And it's just an opportunity to see some shows that you may not have seen or some classics we've done. We did Neil Simon's Rumors. We've done The Importance of Being Earnest. We've done a couple of original plays. We did a couple of pilots in February.
Interesting.
Yeah, so it's just an opportunity for people to come out and see some stuff that maybe they weren't familiar with or maybe they saw in high school that they...
Pilots, you know, that never got produced.
Yeah, and actually that was the idea. We had two pilots that were both sort of in workshop phases. And the writers wanted to sort of hear them out loud and see how they were received.
Okay.
And
that's actually really interesting.
Yeah, actually.
Because you get a glimpse into kind of, especially with the pilot stuff, you get a glimpse into kind of stuff, like I said, that may not have seen the light of day, may never see the light of day. You get
exactly.
To see something new and fresh.
Now, how many actors normally do you have doing this?
It just depends on the cast. We did a night of one acts, and those were two and three person, you know, scenes. Those were pretty small. Although we did three or four of those, so there were, you know, 12 people in the cast. And then Rumors was pretty big. That's a fairly large cast. That was, I think, 12.
Okay.
And then the last show we did was on the smaller side. I think it was only four or five.
And how often do you do these shows?
It's once a month. It's the third Friday of every month.
And what do we have coming up?
Ironically, the only month that we're taking off is this month, April, but we're back in May.
Well, then it's a good thing we had you on
timed.
Now.
It's perfectly timed. It's Erica's got a bunch of stuff working, and then it's my birthday week, and I'm actually out of town, so we decided to skip April and go into May. But
I mean, look, yeah. We're going to have the information up on our Facebook page, and do me a favor, when you have May planned out, you know what
yeah,
we're having...
Sure.
Send us the information. We'll put it on the Facebook page, and we will...
Pack the house.
Great.
Which, is it always at the same theater?
Yeah, I'm sorry. That's important information. It's at the Actors Comedy Studio, which is on Beverly, right across from Pan Pacific Park. It's in the Liberace building. It's actually in the same space that the Pez show is in. There's the show there every Friday. So there's a Smarty... Our show is the third Friday. Pez is the last Friday. Pez is the personal essay show that my buddy Alex Alexander produces.
Friend of the show?
Friend of the podcast. Yeah.
She is a friend of the podcast. Not an enemy of the podcast. A friend of the podcast.
One day, maybe she'll be an enemy of the podcast.
One day,
fuck you, Alex Alexander. You're the enemy of the podcast.
And then she'll just come back on and get you guys drunk, and then it'll all be okay again.
That was rough.
Yeah, so it's on Beverly Boulevard, right in between Fairfax and La Brea. And,
right next to Buddha's Belly.
It's exactly right next to Buddha's Belly.
A terrific and delicious Asian restaurant.
Asian fusion.
Are they a sponsor? They should be a sponsor of the show. I don't know if they use blood, but we could probably just get them.
I want to get a deal with Buddha's Belly.
Make this happen.
Exactly.
So you okay, so this is interesting. And then is it usually the same actors that you have, or you always kind of casting out for...
Yeah, we always have a... We've got a little stable now. We've got a stable of actors. It's the old studio system. I've signed them to 6-play contracts. They get nothing. They get room and board. But No, we have a few that have done the show a couple times, and then we always try to get new people in. We don't audition, so it's mostly if we know you, if you've seen the show. You kind of have to have seen the show to know what you're getting into, or be very familiar with the show, because obviously there's very limited rehearsal time. There's one rehearsal, so you kind of have to be self-motivated and want to do the work on your own for the week that you get the script and be familiar with it. Obviously, you don't have to memorize it or anything. So
the other thing I like about this is it sounds like, I mean, I haven't heard of anyone else doing something like this around.
I've never. Now, that may be a sign of either a genius idea or a terrible idea.
I think it's a good idea because it's something fresh, like I said. You know, it's something that you're not going to see all the time.
Well, something similar that's been going on recently here in Los Angeles is Jason Reitman,
yes,
the director, has been doing this series monthly at LACMA.
I saw Ghostbusters.
Yeah, so what he does is he takes famous movies and he recasts the film, and they do staged readings, so all the actors have the scripts. And he does very counterintuitive casting. So, for example, he did Reservoir Dogs with an all-black cast.
Glengarry Glen Ross, all women.
And these
really?
Yeah,
oh, I would have liked to have seen that. That's awesome.
And the tickets just are sold out the second they go on sale. You can't even get a seat. And this is one of the most... It gets national attention
it's
every month.
It's through Film Independent, right?
It's through Film Independent and LACMA Film Club, and it's him and Elvis Mitchell. And this is a very radical idea he has, but he gets top-shelf talent...
Yeah.
To do these readings because it's such an interesting acting exercise and it's such an interesting way to re-experience. I mean, Ghostbusters, which is, you know, a special effects heavy film, to do it just as a reading. So how was that? I mean,
it was one of my favorite things I've done while I was in LA, while I've been here. So I've been here almost 10 years, and it was Jack Black as Egon, Rainn Wilson was Egon, Jack Black was
Ray.
No,
Venkman.
Seth.
Really?
Seth Rogen was Ray.
Ray. I would have reversed that, but I'm not Jason Reitman.
No, Peter. Who is Bill Murray?
Peter Venkman.
Peter Venkman. Thank you. Yeah. Seth was Peter Venkman.
Ah, so.
You were right. You were right. Kristen Bell was Sigourney Weaver's part, which is incredibly underwritten when you actually just hear the words. She has like three scenes, and it's basically just written as girl. Like, pretty girl.
You know, it's so funny that I don't even realize, and I guess this says something terrible about the roles we have for actresses. Entertainment Weekly had a breakdown of the screen time, like, the female leads in these superhero movies actually have.
Oh,
and
wow.
I consider them to be, like, fairly, like... In that last Spider-Man movie, I considered Emma Stone to have a fairly big part, but it says she has, like, less than 20 minutes of screen time, which I found really hard to believe.
It's like Marlon Brando in The Godfather. He's only in the movie for about 20 minutes.
I find that so hard to
believe. If you add up all the time Marlon Brando's actually in the movie, because he spends a good hour and a half of it in the hospital.
That's true.
After he's been shot.
I think there's a similar thing with,
But it's actually not his story.
It's not.
So, that's I'm okay.
It's Fredo's story. Those two movies are about Fredo.
Oh, Fredo.
Poor Fredo.
You broke my heart, Fredo.
I think there's a similar thing with Silence of the Lambs. I think Anthony Hopkins doesn't really have all that much screen
Jack
time.
Jack Nicholson and A Few Good Men had like 10 minutes, something like that.
But he at least won a supporting actor.
Yeah.
Or was nominated.
Yeah, also, Anthony Hopkins is only in the movie for about 18 minutes. So you just add it all up. But a good actor can really hijack a film and, you know, and turn it into something special. But yeah, it's interesting when you see it just stripped down like this, like you said, to realize, oh, there's not a lot in there for you.
In fact, Mae Whitman was
Penny
Annie, I think.
Annie
Potts' character, which
I forget what Penny Potts.
Penny Potts. She played Penny Potts.
That's right. It's a good alliteration. She played that character plus all of the like demons and. She had way more fun and way much more to do on stage than Kristen Bell, who just kind of sat and looked pretty. Which I love Kristen Bell.
So Mae Whitman got to be Gozer too. Did
yeah.
You go, are you a god?
Yep, exactly. And she did the voice. It was
her.
Mae Whitman. Yeah.
Her. Never mind. Arrested Development.
Thank you. God damn it.
Egg. And it's as plain as the egg on egg. Anne on Egg's face.
Annabelle. That's not her name. No, she's shaped like a.
Is
bell.
It an? Is it a... she working the lights or something? No, it's an inner beauty contest. Ah, there it is.
There it
For
is.
The
there
rest is. Of the episode, we are only going to quote lines about Anne Veal from
Her
Arrested Development.
From season 2 and 3 of Arrested Development.
Was she funny or something?
Well, listen. Tell everybody where they can find information about Smarties.
They can find information on Smarties. We have a Facebook page, which is if you search Smarties, S-M-A-R-T-I-E-S, like the candy. You can also find me on Facebook, and then you can find it through me. Matt Swanson is my last name, S-W-A-N-S-O-N. Pretty much that's where we are. That's the easiest way to find it. You can also look up on Actors Comedy Studio. Excuse me. All their information is there, actorscomedystudio.com.
Well, look, if you're a good listener of the podcast,
which I know you are,
you have already seen all of this because we have a link to it on our Facebook page.
See there? There you go.
So there you go. And if you haven't, well, then get to it.
And you know what? Go. Even if you're not familiar with the play, you don't know what it is, go culture yourself. Get out and go do something interesting.
That actually is the idea, is that it's we were hoping to get a core group of audience members, you know, 20, 30 people that would come every month that or every other month that just didn't matter what the show was because they're always comedies, I should specify. We're not doing any heavy drama. Nice and light, 90 minutes. So
no Death of a Salesman. He was a good man.
No.
He was a wise man.
Right, exactly. But we are doing the musical version.
feel a like man is a, not a piece of fruit.
A Simpsons. Didn't they do? They did Ostella, right?
Wasn't that the musical version? Yeah, they did Streetcar Named Desire.
Streetcar, oh no, Streetcar! Exclamation!
Yeah,
right.
And Stella,
can't
Stella,
you hear me? Stella,
right, Stella, exactly. You're putting me through hella, Stella. Well, look, on that note, I'm going to transition to the topics.
Perfect.
Of the
week. Yeah, let's do it.
And before you mentioned a Mets cap, so you
I
are
did.
A Mets fan.
I am.
Yes. My mother is a Mets fan.
See, yeah.
My father was a Yankees fan.
I'll send
fan.
Her a sympathy card in the mail.
Yeah, see. But I'll tell you what, I'm a Yankees fan, and we are not looking to have a good season this
no,
year.
No, that's good news.
Yeah, no, that's good news for everybody but me.
Yankees are on an austerity binge this year, it looks like.
That's what it looks like. First of all, there's this mandate. They have to lower the payroll to $180 million.
How could you ever win a game with only $100 million, $180 million payroll?
How many teams are under $100 million? I would just, out of the 26? 26 Major League Baseball?
Under $100 million?
Isn't that like 28?
Did they up it to 20? I can't remember. I know there were 26 at some
I lost
point,
track but. Of all this stuff when I got older.
Yeah.
But, I could probably name all the teams, but I can't name the number of
exactly.
Games. But I don't know how many are under.
I feel
100.
Like the vast majority would be under 100.
Probably.
Well, Kansas City Royals have $150 million payroll, right?
What?
No.
That's not possible.
But no, you're right. But I would also say the vast majority don't need to be. I think it's bad business planning.
Well, not for the Yankees.
I mean, feel they because the well. Yankees, teams like the Yankees and the Red Sox, pay a luxury tax, and then these teams are supposed to put that out on the field, and they don't. Look, the Mets have a big payroll.
They have a huge payroll, and they can't win with it. So I just, you know, well, I'd rather them go to, like, you know, the Oakland A's model. And
hey, and we just lost half our audience. So baseball's coming back on Sunday night.
Baseball's coming back this Sunday night.
Why don't you think the Yankees are going to be good this season?
Everyone is on the DL.
What's the DL?
The disabled down low? List.
The down low.
The disabled list. Jeter's hurt. Teixeira's hurt. A-Rod's hurt.
Oh, what happened, A-Rod? A little bit...
It's his hip. It's
oh,
his
it's
hip.
His hip, yeah. Him and Lady Gaga.
Curtis Granderson's hurt.
Not Granderson.
The power, they got no... The Bronx Bombers have no power. The only thing I am very excited, as a baseball fan, I want to ask
they
you about
They lost Rivera,
this.
Too, right?
What?
They lost Rivera as well.
No.
Oh, he's back? This is going to be
his but
final
this
year.
This is his last
final
season?
Year.
Oh, I thought he was... Okay.
No, he's back. Last year, he got hurt. Mariano Rivera, the greatest closer in the history of baseball, got hurt last season, and I think it would have been his last season last year, but he couldn't go out like that.
Got it.
And he's coming back for one more year, and this is the one thing, as a Yankee fan, I'm excited to watch this year. I mean, look, the Yankees will probably still do better than I'm giving them credit for, but if their pitching holds up. But Mariano Rivera, he's the greatest closer of all time. This is his final season.
Right.
Matt, as a baseball fan, will you agree with me that Mariano Rivera is the greatest
closer? Oh, 100%. I hate him, but he is because he's exceptional.
I thought the greatest closer of all time, Kira Sedgwick.
Oof. Ah, she's good. She's
TNT.
Good.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's on TNT. You can catch that show.
Drama. Characters happen.
Characters happen.
Moe's got a beat. And let me tell you what, though. I was aggravated because a bunch of people started... Because he's, like, you hate him, but he's, like, that respect hate.
Yeah, it's like Jeter. It's like, you can't help but say that they're extraordinary at what they do.
With
the
Red
they're
Sox,
on the Yankees. So
with
like
the Red Sox, there were always these people that I hated. Like, I hated Pedro Martinez, but I respect hated him. But then there were people like Curt Schilling, who I just fucking hated.
Yeah. But Bloody Sock.
Because he was an asshole.
Bloody now sock. He's bankrupt.
Good.
Because he likes video games.
Good. But there are these people who've come to me and said, Trevor Hoffman was a better closer than Mariano Rivera.
Oh, come on.
Their argument being he played for the Padres. The Padres weren't as good, so he had less opportunities to get saves, and he still has almost as many saves as Mariano Rivera.
He's great. I think there's nobody who's been more clutch than Rivera. Nobody, ever.
Right. I'm glad you agree.
Nobody's had more opportunity to blow games, big games, than Mariano Rivera. And how many? He's blown four, I think?
Maybe.
Something like that. I
the
think
big
that's the
one
stat.
Was in Arizona in 2001.
I think the stat is four blown.
Oh, was that when they didn't win the 9/11 World Series?
Yeah, they let down the nation.
They let down New York City.
Let me tell you what.
I was in New York City in 2001. I was happy they lost.
It wasn't that bad. Overrated, whatever.
We didn't care about the Yankees.
No, they were talking about 9/11.
Yeah. Oh, no. Yeah, we care about that. I'm just saying it wasn't like, if the Yankees won, that would have just brought the nation together.
Oh, I thought you were talking about that. Okay.
Still, 50% Yankee, of the nation still would have hated New York. Just,
as a,
you know.
As a Yankee fan, I truly believe it would have brought the nation together. But you know what's funny?
Of course, you believe that.
I said, I'm glad you agree with me about this Mariano Rivera thing because it's the sensible thing. But part of me wanted you to disagree because then we could have a argument about it.
Oh, sorry. Let's see. Who can I go with? No, there's nobody.
It's unfathomable. He's the greatest closer of all time.
Roger McDowell is the greatest closer in history. Bubblegum Kid.
Once again, losing the audience.
I had to go back to 86. It's just in my head. I couldn't even remember who the
Let me
say,
was. You could have went with Jesse Arrasco.
Kirk Gibson still playing.
Okay.
Still limping around.
I'm going to end this now, but I'm just going to say, Mariano Rivera, it's his final season. Do yourself a favor, even if you're not a baseball fan. It's one of the great athletes, great ball players in the history of the sport. Check out some ninth innings and some Yankee games.
Watch every Yankee game this season. Do yourself a favor.
You'll thank us later.
Subscribe to the Yes Network.
Oh, God.
Moving on.
Thank you.
.org.
Very excited for this weekend.
Because baseball's starting again, right?
Because baseball's starting up Sunday.
We're talking about baseball again. It's happening.
Fantasy baseball draft is happening.
Sunday night, I won't be watching baseball. I will be watching both the season finale of The Walking Dead and the season premiere of Game of Thrones. This could be the best night of television all year.
If Mad Men started on that night, that would have been
my
too much.
Head would have exploded.
Yeah, it would have been too much.
Well, I gotta wait for Walking Dead to end.
Why are you so excited for it to end?
No, because it's the same time slot, no?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
That's why.
Got it.
Now, I think this has been a terrific Walking Dead season. I know, Sean, you've got some issues with
this. It's been a better Walking Dead season than last season.
You're liking it more than you want to admit.
Walking Dead works because it's action. It's physicality. There's a visceralness to it.
Yes.
But these characters are paper thin, and once you get past certain elements of the show, it does not hold together. I go on record saying it's a good show. It's not a great show.
I would not necessarily disagree with that assessment. I'm only I don't know what are we in season 3 that's on the air right now, right? I'm season 2 catching up because I didn't have cable for a long time.
Just get through season 2, and season 3 is much better.
Season 2 I'm having a hard time.
A lot of farm time.
Loved season 1.
Particularly the first half of season 2.
I thought the pilot was pretty extraordinary, season 1. But season 2 is a bit slow. It's like Lost to me. Lost season 1 was so great, and then season 2 sort of lost its way, and then sort of found its footing again in season 3, and then
went on for another 7 years.
Disappointed everybody with the finale.
So. I love Lost. I love the finale of Lost.
The finale was exactly what I wanted. I wanted to feel good about the characters as they left, whatever they were in. It didn't make any sense to me.
Still don't know, but I liked it.
If I think about it, it gets me
well,
like,
we'll talk about this off-air, because otherwise we'll really bore the people.
Baseball!
But The Walking Dead, I think this season has been really good. And I think they, you know, there's some really more interesting characters than you're willing to give a credit for.
Oh, you mean the black chick with the sword who we still know nothing about 14 episodes in?
We know she had a boyfriend.
Well, there we go. And that she kind of knew the two walkers that she kept on a leash.
I'm, assuming one might have been a boyfriend.
The character with no motivation and no backstory, no plot. She has
She has a sword. Isn't that all of that?
The motivation is survival. Isn't survival good enough?
Or Rick, the hallucinating leader who is the leader for some inexplicable reason, even when his son tells him, like, hey, Dad, you probably shouldn't be in charge anymore. Maybe the one-legged dude will do a better job.
Okay. Look, I think...
Or why don't they just fucking leave? Why are they at war with this town? Okay, it's a fun show. I'm enjoying it. Game of Thrones.
Wait, can I say one more Walking Dead thing? Norman Reedus is, I think, doing really good work on
this show. Yes, he is. He's doing phenomenal work. And there's 12 other characters.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay, Game of Thrones. Now, Sean, I don't know what to expect from the season of Game of Thrones, but you've read all the books. I mean, don't tell us what's
going to
happen.
So apparently what I've been hearing is that this is the season where they're going to start pulling away from the books more and more.
Musical?
The same way the walk... Yeah, the same way the...
Big yes. Musical numbers?
It's going to be like Dogville, where they're no longer going to... Everything's just going to be on wooden sets and with chalk outlines on the floor.
They're going dogma. Yeah, if you want music in the scene, you got to play music in the scene.
That's it. They really had to scale back the budget. They're kind of taking a page out of the Walking Dead book, where you have the comic books which go off in one direction, and the television show exists in a parallel reality.
Interesting. Was there only three books, is that right?
Of Game of Thrones?
Yeah.
There's five books so far with two more coming.
Oh, okay.
And season three does exactly what I thought they would do, which is season three is only the first half of book three.
Okay.
And then the season four is going to start combining the second half of book three with book four. And one of the reasons why is that there is something that happens in the middle of book three, which is a perfect end point.
Got it.
And would make a phenomenal season, either penultimate or ultimate episode. What we're going to see in season three is just more expanded characters who were minor in the first two seasons come to the fore, characters who very definite opinions of and points of view on will completely change the way you think about
them. Are they going to make me like Joffrey? Because I think that's impossible.
Keep watching.
No, there's no way I'll ever like this kid.
This kid's a little shit.
Do you watch Game of Thrones?
No. And here's why. Is that friends of mine have read all the books that have been published,
right,
and they're such huge fans that I just keep... I want to read the books before I...
You don't have to. Really, the show is such
really?
A... The fact that this show even exists, that there's a network willing to spend money to create a sprawling epic fantasy series that is serious and doesn't fuck around and lives in this world, is astounding. The fact that the stories and the acting is at the level of what it is and the production values is a miracle. This show is quickly becoming the best thing on television. And as Mad Men starts to wind down and Breaking Bad's ending now this year, it will be the best thing on television.
I kind of agree, because Game of Thrones is probably my third favorite show behind Breaking Bad and Mad Men right now. And I never thought I would love Game of Thrones, because I'm not a big fantasy guy, which is why I don't read a lot of fantasy books for that reason.
I'm the same. I'd rather not read that.
Yeah, there's so much I can't get into, but the show... I gotta admit, it took me about the entire first season to fully understand all the relationships. But even while I was trying to figure it all out, it was still always compelling.
Right.
And do you think one of the reasons why they might be going away from the books is because they're afraid that the show will catch up to George R. R. Martin?
No, one of the reasons is because George R. R. Martin spends a lot of time vamping, and there are plot lines that are literally just killing time. Because he's got to move all the pieces forward.
Okay.
And I think what they're doing is they're compressing, they're condensing, and they've already started in the second season all the stuff with Arya. Her character gets the most short shrift in books 2 and 3, and the actress who plays Arya is phenomenal, and they've made her
they
a larger...
They want to make sure she has more to do.
And by doing so, they've made smarter choices. It's almost as if George R. R. Martin can write these books, and now he's got a chance almost to do a do-over, where you can go in and you can really draw out elements, and now that he's further down the line, so he knows where the pieces are going to be 10 moves from now, you can get them there in smarter ways, or you can say, you know what, that didn't work as well, what if we do this, and this, and that's part of what makes it so phenomenal.
Now, George R. R. Martin, he's going to write two more books.
Allegedly.
This man is older.
Yes.
He is overweight. Mm-hmm. I also once read that he was a Jets fan, and that he might be one Mark Sanchez interception away from having a heart attack.
Oof.
Will he live to finish these last two books?
Well, not if even that if last statement is true, no.
I feel like even if he doesn't, he has enough visibility now, and he's been collaborating so much on this series that, much like when Robert Jordan died, there are people that I feel could take up the mantle of the story. It may not have the same quality or level of writing as...
But they'll finish up
the
narrative.
But the plot lines... And if, you know, I feel like there's so much money invested now in this world that if he were to drop dead tomorrow, the publishing company and HBO would have another fantasy writer come in and take us home.
So he is involved in the production.
Oh, he's an executive producer. He writes one script of every season.
Oh, wow.
And he's deeply involved with David Benioff and David Weiss, who are the showrunners.
Okay.
And they know what's going on, and he's very much involved.
Cool.
Good. I'm glad he's not like...
But I cannot fucking wait for the season. I'm so excited.
Matt.
Yes, sir.
Do you like the movie The Shining?
I do like the movie The Shining.
Very good film. Did you know?
I might actually like the movie better than the book.
There you go. I agree.
Okay. I don't know how many people agree with me there.
I agree with
one.
You.
There's two. Okay, good. We are correct.
Did you know The Shining is actually about the Holocaust?
No. Is this the...
Did you know?
Is this room 287? Is this what this
Wait.
Is this...
Did you know?
I did not know that, though.
The Shining is actually about the white man's treatment of Native Americans.
Well, yes. I mean, I thought that was obvious.
Obviously.
Did you
know? I'm being sarcastic. I didn't know that, no.
Did you know that The Shining is Kubrick's confession to the world that he faked the moon landing?
No, I didn't know that.
Well...
Those are three amazing facts.
There is a new... You alluded to it a second ago. And by allude, I mean you said it.
Sorry, I'm not good at this.
There is a new documentary out called Room 237. And this documentary, it comes out this weekend. It's going to be on video on demand. Anyone who's seen The Shining and liked it, should, or even just likes Kubrick, you have to see this movie. It is about the theories and conspiracy theories about what The Shining is really saying.
Huh.
Now, the film is smart, because I don't buy any of these theories. But the film doesn't, like, endorse any of them. It just presents them.
Okay.
And it does it in this kind of maddening but fascinating way, where they kind of bombard you just with footage of The Shining for, like, 90 minutes. Like,
they just show you The Shining.
You don't see talking... You don't see the talking heads.
It's the worst commentary track ever.
Right, yeah. Okay, so they're just showing you what the people are talking. The people are talking, and then they're showing you images to represent what they're talking about.
Basically.
Okay.
And they also have this really, like, they point out things that I never noticed. Like, they go over the layout of the hotel.
Mm-hmm.
They have an architecture expert go over the layout of the hotel. And they're like, this hotel, it's laid out in a way that's impossible. These sets are built in an impossible way. They don't truly function. Like, Kubrick was such... like a meticulous genius,
okay,
that he must have known that. So what is he trying to tell us by this? Now, I think that's kind of fascinating, but I don't think that means he faked the moon landing.
I'd like to see the movie just to hear that jump.
They make some pretty big leaps.
There's a zombie lady in a tub, therefore he faked the moon landing.
Exactly.
Stanley Kubrick is still alive as a zombie. Well, did you see the article that I emailed you today?
Yes.
Oh, so there was an article came out on Slate, and Leon Vitali, who is inexplicably still alive, was Kubrick's longtime assistant for decades.
Okay.
And he saw the movie, and he's like, BS. Every single one of the points of fact that these nut jobs use to prove one point or another, he systematically discredits, disproves, or explains why these things are in the movie.
Awesome.
So, for example, they use the fact that Kubrick had a German typewriter to prove some sort of Nazi connection, and he goes, no, that was Kubrick's typewriter. He liked how it looked. Or one of the characters has a sweater that depicts the Apollo 11 moon landing, and they use that as a point of proof. He goes, no, somebody on the crew knitted that sweater because Kubrick wanted something that was homemade. You know, and he just goes through each of these points and just says, no, we did this because of this, and we did this because of that, and these people are stupid.
Well, my attitude with things like that, or even like with the layout of the hotel that they're saying, did they ever think that maybe, since it's a really maddening, upsetting film, Kubrick was just trying to subliminally drive us mad, do what the film is trying to do? You know?
Yeah, I
But it's really fascinating because I think what it's a great documentary because it really shows how different people can interpret the same work of art in different ways.
Right.
But it got me thinking about conspiracy theories and all these things. Matt, do you believe in any conspiracy theories? Are you a conspiracy theorist? Have I touched on
other than 9/11 being a hoax?
I am not. No, this is the, okay. So this is that's. I am not a conspiracy theorist at heart.
But
I like to believe I was in New York for 9/11. I was there. I watched the towers fall. It sucked. I don't want to believe that there was some sort of conspiracy that you know that they allowed those planes to fly into the tower, that they wired those buildings. I don't want to believe that. So I think I'm the opposite of a conspiracy theorist. I'm the just tell me what to believe.
You're Julia Roberts and not Mel Gibson.
I am. That's true.
That earthquake in Turkey.
I have the same
laugh. A natural event.
That's my Julia Roberts laugh.
Is anyone getting this? No.
I know what you're talking about. The movie.
Conspiracy theory.
Yeah. Conspiracy
theory. Good. All right.
I'm with you. I'm totally with you.
It's a Richard Donner film.
Yeah. Well.
A Dick Donner film, I should say.
So 16 blocks.
So let me tell you what. I am also not. I kind of go with like the simplest explanation is the.
Yeah, I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I think you can find anything if you look hard enough, and you can cut the data anyway to prove or disprove whatever point you want. In many ways, I'm an objectivist, and so I don't believe in conspiracies.
I am sure
there are conspiracies.
Yes, thank you.
They do exist, but not the real nut jobby ones.
I am sure there are conspiracies.
Well, you know, the Jews do run the world.
That's what I hear.
Yeah, it's a true story.
That's why I do my podcast with a Jew.
Yeah. Well, if not, you wouldn't even have the number of listeners that you have.
did Oswald
Happy Passover.
On?
Yeah.
Did Oswald act on that? Wasn't the movie JFK?
I think people wanted JFK dead, but I don't think that it was. I think it was too sloppy to be a grand conspiracy.
Too brilliantly sloppy.
Thanks, back Oliver. And to the left. That's all
back
I'll say.
Back and to the left.
Back and to the left.
That.
did you read Stephen King's book about the assassination?
I have not.
It's awesome.
I heard it's really good.
It's one of the few that had a good ending. I think he struggles with his
He does.
Endings.
Well, you always know one character's going to die. I've read enough Stephen King that you already kind of know where it's heading.
Yeah, he tends to meander a little bit and then gets it. Like, Tommyknockers to me was such a great, powerful opening, and then the
well, he's got some books that are just big old messes.
But this one, apparently his son helped him with the ending, actually, is what
really?
He said. Yeah. He said
his sons, he's got two now. He's got Owen King and Joe Hill, and they're both...
I think it was Joe.
...are both apparently genre writers in their own right of pretty substantial consideration, so...
Oh.
Yeah.
It's a great book. It's really fun.
You know what? I haven't read a Stephen King book in, am I really thinking 20 years? Like, I read
Certainly
a whole
possible.
Bunch of his stuff in, like, middle school and stuff.
I feel like everybody goes, I went through that in
middle
school, too. Yeah.
And I keep thinking that the next book I pick up, maybe I'll pick up a newer Stephen King book.
If you want to read a great Stephen King book, one he wrote about 5-6 years ago was called Cell.
Ah, I read
about
that, too.
Some weird signal goes
zombie.
Over the cell waves, and whoever puts their ear to the cell phone turns into a zombie. So basically, the only ones that survive are kids and old people because they're the ones not on their fucking cell phone. And it's not very long, and it's a good little zombie book.
I read, like, it was either the first chapter or the first couple of pages they printed in Entertainment Weekly when that came out.
And
I read it, and I'm like, oh, this looks good. And
yeah,
then
it takes us
to
Boston Common. The guy's just on Boston Common. All of a sudden, everyone... And the zombies are these crazy, violent, ass-kicking zombies.
Yeah.
Like, they go... Their brain just goes
this
insane.
Scrambles, yeah.
Yeah.
Just
I'm going to... Next book I pick up...
You should read Under the Dome. We got to talk... Because the series is coming
Under
up.
The Dome. I'm going to read that whole book.
All right.
I don't know Under the Dome.
That's the one where... It's the plot of the Simpsons movie where a glass dome just falls from the sky on some New England town, and everyone under the dome is stuck there, and
Fantastic.
All of a sudden it becomes... You're living this dome, and mob rules, so the guy who runs the local store becomes, like, the warlord of the town, and CBS is turning this into a television show.
You're kidding.
Yeah.
Is that the Stephen King book?
It was about 1,000 pages. It was his last, like, really big book. Came out about 3 years ago.
Wow.
Yeah.
So right. I'm going to pick up one of these Stephen King books and go see Room 237. Order it on video on demand. You will thank the podcast. Justin Bieber.
Oh, that poor kid.
You know what?
I mean that he's clearly douchey and he's got some issues. But
well, that's the thing. To a point, I'm like...
I can't
like,
imagine what that must be like.
I know, because to a point, I'm like, oh, you're just a kid. Now you kind of have all this, like... power and fame and money. So you might have been, but I mean, there's no excuse to the level of douchebaggery that he has been. behavior.
I agree, and I would like to say that at 18, I'd like to think that maybe I wouldn't be that. But at 18, if I had $1 billion, I'm guessing I'd been kind of just a prick.
Well, I'll tell you what. You know, he's driving his Ferrari through the streets, aggravating neighbors. He won't wear a shirt. And Olivia Wilde tweeted, "Put your fucking shirt on." Because he doesn't wear.
That's fantastic.
Well, when you got a body like that, you want to show it off.
He walked through the airport in Germany, through the metal detectors, not wearing a shirt.
Did he really?
And the airport put out a statement saying,
"This man would be shot on sight."
Well, no, they said, "We want you to know we don't make the passengers take their shirts off," like as if it was some check thing, because they were afraid that this guy also has been buying weird clothes. He's got these sweatpants.
Is it a hat? Is it Damon Lindelof?
Oh, yeah.
Favorite thing.
Well, he's got these sweatpants that have like fake money hanging out of them, but then he's got this hat. Tell us about the hat. Describe the hat.
It is a yellow hat with spikes all along the front of it and the brim. It's I don't even know how to describe them. They're like silver, maybe half inch long,
like triangle spikes
that stick out of it.
And it's a bright yellow.
It's like someone bedazzled it with, you know, 3/4 inch by 3/4 inch spike pyramids.
And they also, I believe he has matching pants as well. But I've only seen the hat because Damon Lindelof on Twitter has been, he created a whole meme about it.
Damon Lindelof went on for days. It's the greatest thing that has ever happened.
One of the best
Twitter
rants I've ever seen.
Where he was just tweeting about this hat. He was just tweeting about this ridiculous hat and how he wanted a hat. And Damon Lindelof, if you don't know, he's...
he wrote on Nash Bridges and Picket Fences.
Exactly. but also
what a
Lost
great reference.
In Prometheus. He wrote, you know, terrific writer. And he is obsessed with this hat.
I think someone bought him one and finally got him one, so he has
a
hat now.
Yeah, Robert Kirkland, Walking Dead,
got him the hat.
Bought him.
Did he really?
The hat.
Awesome.
Now, here's the thing, though. All this tweeting about the hat and all this tweeting that Olivia Wilde's doing, like, put your fucking shirt on, Bieber, it proved to me there is one thing douchier than Justin Bieber. It's Justin Bieber fans. These Justin Bieber fans take to the internets, and Olivia Wilde, like, put your fucking shirt on, and she's right, you should put a fucking shirt on. But these fans start tweeting at her nasty things, like, you're just an old lesbian, fuck you, like, I can't believe you don't want to see this, and Damon Lindelof's tweeting about this hat, and they're like, fuck you, Damon Lindelof.
Well, sure, you know.
All the fans are going crazy, and they are all apologists for his behavior. It's only feed into his behavior. Like, oh, yeah, you could drive your Ferrari. They're tweeting, like, yeah, fuck the neighbor that you're driving. You're running over neighbors in your Ferrari or whatever. And so you want to know what? Justin Bieber fans, you got to really calm down. You got to stop defending this idiot. And that's why you guys, Justin Bieber fans, are the enemy of the podcast. Go fuck yourselves. Fuck you. And you want to know what? You're all going to be embarrassed. A few years from now, you're all going to be like, oh my God, I was a Bieber apologist. Oh my God, this guy is... You're all going to feel fucking sorry for yourselves because at this moment, you could have taken a stand against this behavior, and you didn't.
The only thing it takes for evil to succeed is for good men to do nothing.
And these Justin Bieber
fans... And to tweet, in their defense.
And let me tell you what, Mel Gibson... I love Mel Gibson movies. I'm not going to defend the man for things he said. This is what
I will. I will defend his use of sugar tits because that is a very funny saying,
and that's kind of hilarious.
I think Mel Gibson has one apologist, Jodie Foster.
Oh,
that's right. Oh. Yeah.
Jodie Foster.
But these Bieber fans. I mean, Bieber's trying to fight with people, and the fans. Like, I feel like. Here's the other thing.
He got into it with his neighbor because he was peering around at 9 a.m. in his new Ferrari, and the neighbor, he threatened the neighbor, so the neighbor slapped an assault and battery charge on Bieber.
Nice. Yeah.
And the fans, they took to the interwebs, oh, Bieber, oh, don't get on Bieber, as if Bieber's the one who we should feel sorry for. I'll tell you, here's the other thing. We've badmouthed Bieber on this podcast before. And nobody.
This is not a new thing.
And nobody.
Guest next week, Justin Bieber.
Justin Bieber. Nobody has attacked us. And this is bothering me, too.
Well,
none of the Bieber fans are coming after us. We've called him a little piece of shit, little punk-ass piece of shit. Nobody's coming after us. So you know what, Justin Bieber fans? Come at Will Link. Come at Sean David. Attack Matt Swanson. I bet you the fucking punk who stole your iPad.
Oh, I bet you he's a Bieber fan. Oh, I bet. Absolutely.
He's filled the entire thing with just Bieber music.
Hey, if he can get past my password of boob.
Ooh.
Yeah. 8008. It's clever.
One,
right?
One, one, two, 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 three, three, three,
four. The kind of password an idiot uses on his luggage.
What do you think of these Bieber fans?
I think they're children who have technology in their hands that can say whatever they want with no one editing them. And it's I think the average, the median age of these people is got to be 14. It has to be. And if, again, I'm not apologizing for them, I just think it's sort of laughable, because when I was in early middle school, New Kids on the Block were very, very popular. And a friend of mine was obsessed with them, and I remember driving through – we were going on our way to sleepaway camp. There was four of us, whatever, and we were driving. And we drove through Boston, and she opened up her window and yelled, I love you, New Kids on the Block. And I remember turning to her in a weird moment of, like, wise beyond my age. I turned – and I was 12, and I went, you're going to regret that in, like, a year. And sure enough, within a year, they were not famous. She was embarrassed that she had liked them. Like, I just think this is going to – it's going to live. It's going to burn itself out very quickly.
I can't wait. Yeah, I can't wait for Bieber 5 years from now when he's got some sort of house hunting show on television. He's got no money, and he's got to be hawking crap online like Vanilla Ice.
It's too much too soon. And
he thinks it's never going to end. It's like, oh, yeah, Corey Feldman thought this was never going to end.
Lindsay thought it was never going to end, and I don't know.
Well,
I
mean, people are going to get sick of his bullshit. Things are going to dry up. All he needs is a couple of bombs. Album doesn't sell as well. Yeah. He's not selling out his concerts, and this shit's going to go away real quickly. They're going to be taking away his Fisker.
So I'm all for it. If they want to defend him now, that's fine. It's going to be a really funny life lesson for them.
It's interesting what
in
you
about
said,
5 years.
It's interesting what you said that they're 14-year-olds with technology, because again, we didn't grow up with that. We didn't have
back
the
in
waste.
My day.
Yeah, I mean, it's weird, but
it's happened
mean,
very quickly, though. It's crazy to me that when I was in high school, I remember hearing about AOL for the first time. When I was a freshman in high school, somebody said, "Oh, AOL," and I was like, "Ooh, what is that? That sounds exciting."
It's a new STD,
right? Exactly.
I didn't even have a computer in college.
Whoa. How did that
happen? I mean, I probably should have.
Yeah.
But I didn't.
You're old school.
I didn't need one.
Yeah.
I was able to get away without one.
Right. So it is amazing to me how it's happened very quickly. I still think there's, you know, my brother has three kids. They're all in high school or high school age, and it's hard for them to keep keep the reins on what is accessible to you. You know, I think their 13-year-old, they just got her a cell phone for her birthday. I think that was her big gift, and all of her friends already had cell phones and Twitter and Facebook, and
she was like the odd girl out already.
But I gotta say, it's the she's a sort of, to me, she's a great, funny, normal 13-year-old, as opposed to a weird, weirdly mature, freakishly obsessed with pop culture 13-year-old, which I think a lot of this lends itself to. And now I sound like an old man, so
what you're saying
talking.
Is humanity is doomed. Heard it here first, folks.
Yeah, I'm gonna say what I'm saying is my brother's a great parent.
Excellent.
Pete, if you're listening, congratulations.
I want to end with one. I always like to end with a weird little story. And this one, I don't even know if there's much to talk about, but I need to convey this story because it's about Matthew McConaughey. And Matthew McConaughey is...
All right. Here's your thing.
we seem to be in a McConaughey renaissance, right?
I don't even think you know this.
A McConaissance.
I do a character named Marty McConaughey, who's Matthew's little brother.
We're going to...
Slightly less popular and famous. He has a talk show. It's called All Right, Here We Go.
Well, Marty McConaughey, maybe you can...
Spitting image of him, too.
Yes, exactly. I really do look like Matthew.
Maybe you can comment on this story.
Of course I will. Here we go.
Like I said, we're in a McConaughey renaissance. You know, Magic Mike and...
Bernie and...
Killer Joe.
He was great.
He's great in Killer Joe.
Yep.
Now, a few years back, McConaughey was in a Whole Foods. Now, he wasn't wearing a shirt.
Not like Bieber.
He's... Well,
not
very different. They're taking their shirts off for very different reasons.
Oh, clearly. He did it because the tag itched his neck.
He was about to play the bongos, and you can't play bongos without a shirt.
Well, Everybody knows that. You don't need to tell me about playing the bongos.
Come on.
Also, McConaughey's not trying to fight anyone. He's a pacifist.
Right. He's a pothead.
Maybe. Allegedly.
So anyway.
Nothing alleged about it.
He's in Whole Foods shirtless.
Right.
And a fan of his came over to him and started up a conversation. And then the manager of the Whole Foods came over and said, excuse me, sir, you need to wear a shirt in our store. So the fan said, "Hey, Matthew McConaughey, take my hooded sweatshirt."
A hoodie, as the kids call it.
A hoodie, as the kids call it.
Is this a hoodie?
A hoodie.
So McConaughey puts on the hoodie.
All right.
Finishes his shopping. Leaves with the guy's hoodie. Oh, well, the guy's... he lost his hoodie.
That's a great story.
Great story.
I gave my hoodie to Matthew McConaughey.
He's at a party a few years later. Years later.
Okay.
And he sees McConaughey at this party. And he goes up to him. He starts talking.
I'm assuming this is in Austin or something, right?
No, I believe this is in California.
Oh, it's in L.A. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
And he goes, "Hey, you know, years ago at the Whole Foods, I gave you my hoodie, and you never gave it back." And McConaughey's like, "Oh, I'm so sorry." He goes, "Ah, you know, it's okay." McConaughey leaves the party, goes out to his car, comes back in. He has the hoodie. He had the guy's hoodie.
In his car?
Gave it to him. He had it in his car for years. He had the hoodie in his car.
Just in case he ran into the guy. I'm going to choose to believe, just in case he ran into the guy, he had it in the car. Probably not the case.
Either this means he hasn't gotten a new car, or he got a new car and he transferred everything like a woman would do with her purse contents to the new car.
I love this. I love that he's got, and now the guy got his hoodie back.
That's even better. And it smells like McConaughey.
He probably used that, he kept the hoodie in the car.
For a cum rag.
Every occasion when he was done running or doing whatever exercise he does. And he probably put on the hoodie on his sweaty body when he had to go into Whole Foods.
Exactly.
For these years now. And it was never cleaned.
Nope.
And it's just sat in McConaughey's sweat.
eBay right now.
That guy should sell that grand. Hoodie on
eBay. You can't prove it. There's no certificate of authenticity.
I'm going to sell my
hoodie
on
eBay. It's on this podcast. The story's on this podcast. Therefore, it's true.
We don't lie on this show. Have we ever lied?
Yeah.
Have we ever... No.
The whole podcast predicated on a lie.
That our friendship.
On that note,
Matt, thank you for coming on the show.
Hey, thanks for having me. I really had a good time.
Before we leave, one more time, where can they find information on Smarties and all that
stuff? Find us on Facebook. Smarties, you can find me on Facebook. You can friend me. You can just search Smarties. We have a page. And, it's plays read by geniuses. And everybody's awesome in it.
Third Friday of every month?
Friday of every month. Shows are $10. Or if you're really hard up for cash, we can, you can just say you know me, and we'll give you a little 2-for-1 action. And
hey now.
Tickets wise.
Oh.
Erica's married. I'm not gonna say she and I are gonna tag team. That'd be weird.
But you just did.
I said I said it.
And how about you're on Twitter, right?
I am on Twitter. I don't even know if I know my handle. If it's Matthew Swanson or Matthew A. Swanson.
I believe it's maybe it's Matthew A.
Hold on,
let's
find out.
Well, you look that up.
I'm looking it up.
We'll circle back to that. I, on the other hand, am on Twitter, and I am at TheSeanDavid. You could follow me there. Also, like my page, Sean David, on Facebook. You could buy my book. Buy my book, Triumvirs, Triumvirs, Three Tales, on Amazon Kindle. And hopefully I'll be doing an essay reading soon, we will discuss. I wrote something. We just need to find a venue, and I need to revise it.
Did you find
it? It is. It's Matthew A. Swanson. It's at Twitter. And,
follow him, follow Sean, and follow me at The Real Will Link. You can also listen to me every Tuesday at 4 p.m. on The PM Show with Larry Minetti at crntalk.com. I review movies like...
Go see G.I. Joe. I'm telling you, it's an awesome, awesome fun movie.
Maybe I'll review G.I. Joe.
I'm telling you, it's silly, but it's super fun. And the main plot, the bad guy's plot, is straight out of a Roger Moore Bond movie.
Nice.
Like, it's so ridiculous, and yet, at the same time, you're like, that's awesome.
I grew up on Roger Moore Bond movies.
I know.
And the director of Step Up to the Streets and Step Up 3D.
Yes.
Well, exactly. You could also read reviews of mine at the website you1can, spelled like the city in France. And right now, my latest article is about the Shining documentary, Room 237.
Excellent.
Read the article.
I'm really looking forward to seeing that.
You got to see this thing. It's crazy. And also, speaking of essays, I will be performing at the Pez Show on April 26th. So you know what? Get reserve tickets and come see me. I'm going to be telling a story about a stripper. On the show next week, in theory, we have the band The Moth and the Flame. The terrific band. I say in theory because, well, I say, you know why I say in theory. But we should have this band next week. They're going to be great. And the week after that, not in theory, in actuality, we have Siri. She is an adult film star, and we're very excited to have her on. It's going to be a great show. We're going to...
This beautiful busty blonde.
This is going to be a video one, though, right, next week?
No, you're going to have to listen. Use your imagination.
Yeah, we're all about...
We're cerebral here.
Yeah. Using the biggest organ of all, the brain.
Yeah. Actually, it wasn't going to be my penis.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah.
Look at that one. Using
the second biggest organ of all.
The brain.
So that's going to be a great episode. Guaranteed good times.
And we're booking through rest of April and May.
Yeah, we'll get some things going.
We got some things in the hopper.
Yeah.
A lot of legislation coming.
You know, I've got a friend named Tara who the town is buzzing about.
Yeah, I hear about this. Tara Platt?
Tara Platt.
I hear great things.
She's fantastic. She's one of my favorite people. But
not a confirmed guest yet.
Not a confirmed guest, but Tara, now you have to do the show because I just mentioned you on the show.
Send this her way.
I will.
Matt, thank you once more. Glad to be here. And on that note...
We're finished.
Sweet.